Spin 103.8, you're welcome back to Spin Talk with Lauren. Today we're live from the Radisson Blu and Golden Lane for World Mental Health Day with thanks to Pieta House and Lion's Tea. We've got such a great show lined up for you today. We'd love you to get involved. You can use the hashtag Time to Talk. I'm thrilled to be joined by my next guest. She doesn't look so convinced, but it's Hannah Tyrrell, Rugby Sevens and Rugby Fifteens player, and I mentioned earlier on a tackle your feelings ambassador for Irupa. Hannah, great to have you on Spin Talk again.
Thanks for having me.
We were just reminiscing about Zeminar last year.
Yeah, I was a speaker there last year.
What was that like?
It was fantastic. You know, there were so many different schools there, so many different speakers, and there was just something for everybody there. And yeah, I think it was a fantastic event, and it's run this year, and I think there's even more people going this year. So yeah, long may it continue.
I think I asked you on the day last year, if you had told 13-year-old Hannah Tyrrell that she'd be doing that, what would you have said?
I probably would have laughed you in the room, yeah.
I recently heard Mayo football captain Cora Staunton talk about her club and the people that got her back training after her mum died, and just how much her sport has given her, that it's been a release for her at the tough times in her life. Is that something you can relate to?
Yeah, definitely. Look, when I was a young teenager and struggling with my eating disorder and my self-harm, sport was the one thing that, you know, I found enjoyment from, and it was the one thing that where I could go for an hour or two each day and forget about all the negativity that was going on in my head, and just, yeah, play for the enjoyment of the sport. And the friends that I made on those teams, you know, have really helped me through some tough times. So yeah, sport has been my saviour.
You've been described as a bit of an all-rounder, Gaelic football, soccer, then rugby, running as well. You've thrown in there the odd time too. So being a competitive person, I think that's fair to say.
Small bit.
Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself to be the best?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was a big factor. You know, growing up as a teenager, I always set high standards for myself, and sometimes, you know, they weren't very achievable. And yeah, it was then that I felt like I was failing, and felt like I had to punish myself through self-harm or through my eating disorder. But yeah, I've always been a high achiever, always been very ambitious. I've just managed, I learned to control it a little better and manage it a little better now.
When was it for you that it felt I'm not in control anymore?
Probably right from the beginning. I just didn't realise at the time, you know. It started when I was about 12 or 13 and just had really low self-confidence, low self-belief. I felt like I wasn't good enough at anything that I put my hand to, be it sports, school, you know, friendships, family stuff. And I felt like, you know, if I look different, people might like me better, I might achieve better in school and sports, and I might actually feel better as well. Things probably got at their worst when I was about 17 or 18, you know, and things started to go downhill, and I really, really struggled then.
And like, while all this is going on inside you, you're winning All-Irelands, you're, you know, the star of every team that you're on. And like I mentioned, Cora Staunton, like her, you played with boys up until you were 12. What was it like then being split up when you got to that age where girls went one way and boys went another?
Yeah, look, I'd only ever played on a boys' soccer team. There wasn't a girls' team, you know, when I was 8 or 9 or so. And when it came to being turning 12 and I couldn't play with the boys anymore, it was quite devastating because, you know, I'd made some really good friends on that team. Like, they were my team. I didn't really want to play for anybody else. And I was kind of left out in the dark because there was no ladies team to join. So I couldn't play the sport that I had enjoyed so much. So yeah, it was really heartbreaking for me at the time.
And trying to find your place then, you know, playing with girls, and when you'd always played with the boys. What did the boys think, by the way, of playing with you, or lads that you were playing against? What was that like?
Well, I think at the start, my teammates were pretty disappointed, to be honest, because I was terrible. But eventually, I got half decent at it, and they loved having a girl on the team. You know, they loved, you know, when I played well against other teams, and boys on the other teams were so shocked, you know, that I could tackle and I could score and, you know, do everything that they could do, and sometimes even better. So, yeah, they began to love it.
I know rugby wasn't something that you found until a few years later. So I promise we will get to the rugby, because I know so many people want to hear you talk about your rugby. And, you know, your experience with the Irish team. But through all this, just what I'm trying to get a picture of is that from the outside, you're this all-rounder, everything is going so well, but internally, things are starting to fall apart. Tell me a bit about going to Pieta House that first day ever.
Yeah, so like you said, from the outset, I was really bubbly and chatty and outgoing, and I had loads of friends. I was doing really well in school, doing really well at sports, you know, I had a great family. And it seemed like, you know, kind of I was perfect from the outside, but on the inside, I was just in a lot of mental torment. I had so much negativity going on in my head, and I was really unwilling to talk to anybody about it for fear, you know, of the shame and the stigma that I would get. Maybe they wouldn't be able to help me. And it wasn't probably till about fifth or sixth year that, you know, I eventually told a guidance counsellor about what I was struggling with and that I was self-harming. And I was referred to Pieta House, and it was only a new centre just opened then. I'd never heard of it before. And I met a wonderful counsellor there who, you know, she... I was pretty stubborn at start and didn't really want to tell her anything. I was really afraid to talk about what I was going through and probably didn't have the words to say what I was going through. But she helped me work through a few problems, and you know, she's one of the reasons why I'm still here today.
Wow. That's something actually I have down to ask each of our guests today, is somewhere inside you, did you know what was going on, but you just didn't have the words? And we were talking off air about the fact that you're going back now to do teaching.
Yeah,
we will give them a shout out, I promise. But as a teacher now, how important is that to for you to instill in younger girls and boys that it's okay to put labels on things? It's okay to identify with your feelings, because maybe if you had had that, it wouldn't have been so hard.
Yeah, it's massive. Look, and in schools nowadays, there's a huge focus on well-being, and it's actually becoming a core subject in junior cert, because we're just trying to get students to check in with themselves, to see how they're feeling themselves, and then also to be very aware of how others are feeling and how others are around them. And yeah, look, I never had anybody, you know, coming into schools talking about their mental health and what they struggled with. So by sharing my story, hopefully people can, you know, learn from that and maybe speak out earlier and get some help.
Do you feel, Hannah, now having gone through everything that you've gone through, that you could take on anything?
I don't know about anything, but yeah, I'm definitely a stronger person for it. You know, I've such mental resilience for it. I have all the tools needed that if I ever got in a position like that again, I'd be able to get out of it, or go to somebody to help me to get out of it. And yeah, look, it was a tough time in my life, but I wouldn't change it for the world, because it's made me who I am today, and without it, maybe I wouldn't be, you know, playing for the Irish rugby team, or, you know, I wouldn't be a teacher. You know, I could be down a completely different career path, or I mightn't be here at all.
Can we just remind everyone your rugby story, by the way, that you just picked up a rugby ball because your friend was like, oh, Hannah, you'll be good at this. And 2 years later, you were lining out for, was it the sevens first?
Yeah, sevens first, yeah.
And then the 15s. You're one of those really annoying people, Hannah. You're just good at everything. But getting involved in the professional setup, having been through everything you'd gone through with an eating disorder, especially, and now all of a sudden nutrition is so important. How did you stay focused and not run away with yourself a bit while you're still struggling?
Yeah, look, it was really tough. And when I started the rugby back when I went into the high performance unit in 2014, it was a bit tough at the start because it was all about nutrition and, you know, weight and fat loss and all that sort of stuff, and it was very daunting for me knowing I'd have to weigh in every day and people would be critiquing my weight and my body shape. But for me, it was an opportunity to be a full-time athlete and really be the best athlete that I could be. And I was in the recovery stages at that time, and I was determined not to, you know, take a step backwards. So I just took it as a challenge and said, look, this is what it's going to be, and I'm going to use this opportunity to be the best that I can be.
I can't let you go without asking about the summer, now that the dust has settled a bit on the Rugby World Cup. How are you feeling?
Yeah, look, it was a fantastic event to play in. To play in a home World Cup was phenomenal. You know, we got a serious amount of support, and our home games were sold out, and just the support and the atmosphere was incredible during the games, you know. We had a couple of good results early on, and then unfortunately things started to go a little bit pear-shaped for us, and we're quite disappointed about that. But yeah, just to be involved in the World Cup was something else, and it's something I'll never forget. And you know, we look to the Six Nations again now next year, and we just start again.
I mentioned very briefly that you're back teaching, so full-time playing rugby, teaching and in college.
Yeah,
like
Loads of free time.
We have to mention your class. We promised we'd give them a shout out. Where are they?
I'm teaching in Cloisterbreed in Clondalkin.
And are they loving that you're their teacher? What class? You have first year and second year?
I have first year and second years, yeah. So multiple classes. But I don't know if many of them even know I play rugby, to be honest.
Hannah, you're just incredible. Thank you so much for being with us today and all the work you do for Pieta House. It's been great having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.